This is Your Call. I'm Rose Aguilar. Now we are discussing today's May Day protests. People from around the world are taking to the streets to say no to the Trump administration's extreme agenda. Here in the United States, protests are happening in all 50 states. Joining us is Sonika Mahajan, Director of Community Engagement and Organizing at Mission Action, formerly called the Dolores Street Community Services. Mission Action is committed to breaking isolation, stabilizing people in crisis, and building collective power in San Francisco's Mission District. Hi, Sonika. Thank you so much for joining us.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
Well, before we talk about what's going on in the U.S., I'm just looking at photos from France, Germany, Italy, the Philippines, Japan, Turkey, Greece, all over the world. And people have effigies of Donald Trump and Elon Musk. So this is really a global movement that's happening today.
Yeah, absolutely. Not a lot of people might know this, but May Day is really historic. And in many countries around the world, it's celebrated as International Labor Day. And here in the US is actually where a lot of the history of May Day comes from. And we're celebrating a labor movement and immigrant movements that have brought us things like the 8-hour workday and weekends. And not everyone knows that. And so today is just one in a long history of May Days where we're gonna be in the streets for immigrant rights and workers' rights. And you know, it's really an escalation of workers building power against Trump, the right-wing agenda, and the billionaires that are trying to profit off of us.
You know, and to add to your list, it's important to point out that the workers also brought us pensions. I mean, at one point, a lot of people in this country had health care and pensions. They did not have to worry about how they would make ends meet when they retire. I mean, I'm so grateful to my dad's sheet metal union because he had incredible health care. I didn't have to worry about him. But that, unfortunately, is no longer common. And that's why so many people, as they age, they don't know how they're going to make ends meet.
Right. I mean, in today's America, most basic essentials are becoming very difficult to afford, everything from groceries to housing to health care. And with the Trump administration, the attacks on working people have only escalated and gotten worse and worse. But it's not unique to the Trump administration, and it's been happening and escalating for years. So right. It's really important that not only do we fight back against Trump and these attacks on immigrants and on workers, but also that we really create a vision for the future that's made by workers and run by workers. And I think immigrants are a really important part of that.
You know, I was looking at the MayDayStrong.org Google Drive of all the protests happening. I mean, there are so many protests happening in all 50 states. I mean, you look at the states that, you know, get a bad rap because they're run by conservatives, for example, like Arkansas, Alabama, Mississippi. I mean, in those states, there are so many protests happening today.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point because it shows that at the end of the day, the real divide is really between the workers that are making the cities and economies run and the billionaires that are making profit off of our backs and stealing from us, really, in all 50 states, no matter if they're red or blue. And at the end of the day, that divide is really present. And as workers realize that, and they realize that actually immigrants and workers of all sectors and students have to come together, you know, that's when we're really going to be able to win, when we see unity across all of these groups.
What would you say is most effective this time around? I mean, this is obviously the second time that we're dealing with people, everyday people are dealing with the Trump administration's war on families and children and immigrants, but it's gone to a new level this time. What would you say is most effective when it comes to resisting and organizing?
Absolutely. The Trump administration is really laying siege to so many of working people's most basic rights. And we've seen that escalate to a new level, as you mentioned. Obviously, we're seeing an increase in deportations, but we're also seeing a whole-scale attack on free speech. We're seeing that the administration is detaining and abducting people who have legal residence and citizenship even, just for being who they are or speaking up for what they believe in. And we can expect that that would escalate if we don't fight back. So, you know, there are so many ways in which the Trump administration is really laying siege to workers' rights. And what's effective is when we use a lot of different tactics to organize. in sanctuary cities like San Francisco and others in the Bay Area. We support immigrants with a lot of Know Your Rights information, and we have a 24/7 hotline for legal support upon any ICE detention. So that's one way that we're supporting immigrants. But also, we have to organize around immigrants and workers' rights. Getting in the streets today and having mass mobilizations across the country, having tens of thousands of people in the streets in every city, is going to be really important because we're showing people and we're showing the politicians that are trying to run this country now that we realize workers' rights and immigrant rights are one fight. They're not separate and they can't divide us up. The Trump administration is trying to use fear as a tactic to make us feel like we're all separate and we're all isolated. They're trying to levy all of these attacks at once so that we don't feel like we can fight back, but we're not going to bow to that. And so mobilizations like this one in San Francisco today and across the country are really important to showing people that we're not going to back down and we're actually united across all of these sectors of working people.
To your point about immigrants, the Immigration Hub just launched a very important research report called Disappeared in America: The Faces of Trump's Immigration Dragnet. It says across the United States, families are being detained, disappeared, or deported without warning. The stories featured on this site are not just data points or headlines. These are the true stories of nearly 700 people that capture one of the darkest moments in American history. No one should have the power to turn our government against the people. We're going to do a show about this. But it's so important, Sonika, because yes, there's media attention on this, but there are a lot of people who are being deported that we just don't know about.
Absolutely. And that's why it's important that we pair all of these things together. It's important that we continue hitting the ground and talking to our communities about their rights and educating not just immigrants, but also healthcare workers, teachers, students, community workers, really everybody that might interface with immigrant communities. We all need to be united around protecting our immigrants. But beyond knowing our rights and exercising them, it's also really important that we realize the only way that we can keep each other safe from all of these detentions and abductions and other repression by the administration is to build our movement and to build a really united movement. And we need to call for a stop to all of the attacks on immigrants, for sure, and also on our social services, on public sector workers, on education, on healthcare, on city budgets, and the services that immigrants and other working people need to survive and thrive. So we have to really make all of these things clear and show how they're connected.
In our remaining minutes, can you talk about the ways this administration has responded to mass mobilization and organizing on the ground? Because a lot of people think there's no way none of this is going to affect these people. But you say there have already been success stories.
There are many ways in which we're already pressuring the administration to change their tactics. And of course, they're not going to go down without a fight, but neither will we. One thing that comes to mind is there were several schools across the country and universities where there were students, international students, that were having their visas revoked. But after a lot of community pressure and some universities even standing up to this publicly, the Trump administration had to reverse some of these revocations. Yesterday, Mohsen Mahdawi, who is one of the students from Colombia who was fighting against the genocide in Palestine and was detained illegally by the Trump administration, was released. And so these are just some ways that we're seeing victories for the workers and the students and the immigrants already. And it's not going to be a straightforward or easy path. But as we said, May Day is just one in a series of escalating actions. We've been having protests here in the Bay Area, for example, since January. And they're only growing in unity across all sectors of workers. And they're only growing in the visibility that we're getting. And so May Day is one step, but it's definitely not the end. And it wasn't the beginning either. So what we also need for people to do beyond May Day is to really get organized, tap into networks of your coworkers who are organizing around immigration and healthcare spaces and schools, tap into, immigration rights groups that are looking for volunteers. Here in San Francisco, we have organizing meetings for individuals who want to get plugged in every single Friday in Oakland and in San Francisco, and even in San Jose. So head to one of those and see how you can talk to other workers about what's going on. I think it's really a long haul that we're in for.
Right. That was my final question. What are you hearing from activists and everyday people about how they are preparing for the many fights to come?
Yeah. I think the main thing is that we're building a level of unity across unions, immigrant rights organizations, and other community groups than that we have not seen in a long time. And that unity is going to allow us to support all of each other's struggles. So in coming weeks, we have rallies for the school teachers unions here in San Francisco and also Oakland, that are fighting for better conditions and pays, and rights for students and teachers. We're going to have rallies in San Francisco around the city budget. We just had one yesterday to fight against massive spending on police overtime and to fight for a budget that really serves our communities. So I think what we're seeing is that there's going to be a lot of struggles to come, a lot of fights to come. But what we need to do is build the unity across all of these organizations and sectors that will allow us to build a broader movement and to connect all of these things together. And that's what we're seeing today on May Day. And, we're also connecting it across the country. It's not just us here in San Francisco or the Bay Area. We're connected to organizers in hundreds of cities across the country, and tens of thousands of people are going to be out on the streets today. So we have to keep building that unity.
Sanika Mahajan is Director of Community Engagement and Organizing at Mission Action. They're committed to breaking isolation, stabilizing people in crisis, and building collective power in San Francisco's Mission District. Thanks so much for joining us, Sanika.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you. And related to today's show, on Friday, we're going to talk about a ProPublica piece called The Trump Administration's War on Children. On Monday, we'll talk about cuts at NOAA. And then on Tuesday, we'll talk about the most effective ways to resist Trump's extreme agenda. Thanks to Kevin Vance for engineering our show today. And thank you for joining us. I'm Rose Aguilar. It's your call.